Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
They're back. Different hurricane, but the same old scams. After Hurricane Katrina, the FBI reported the creation of more than 4,000 bogus websites designed to steal would-be donors' money and personal information. Many of them look like legitimate charity websites, but they were run by overseas crooks. I'm Christopher Springman, and our next guest, Sandra Minuti, is an expert on giving to nonprofits, especially charitable organizations, and getting the bang for your buck that you so desperately seek. She is Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Charity Navigator, America's largest charity evaluator, and my go-to place for all things nonprofit. Sandra, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Oh, it's a joy, but this is not very joyful. Sadly, the criminals are up to no good again post-Hurricane Sandy. In fact, authorities are reporting that more than 1,000 internet addresses related to the hurricane were registered even before the storm hit. What is going on out there? And hopefully you can give our listeners some advice, some tips for giving in times of crises. What's going on post-Hurricane Sandy?
It's really such a sad phenomenon that we see each time there's a disaster, that these unscrupulous individuals try to take advantage of all of our goodwill. So,
let's call them what they are. They're crooks. They're thieves.
They are. And I think that donors just need to remember that, yes, be inspired by your heart and these tragic images we all see and hear horrible stories about on the radio as well. Be inspired, but don't forget to use your head, and don't just click through some link and give without giving it a second thought. You really need to do some research and make sure that you're giving to a legitimate charity, and also one that will do great things with your donations and not just spend it on the CEO's salary or something less charitable.
I just visited your website this morning, charitynavigator.org, and downloaded tips for giving in times of crisis. Number one, give to an established charity. Tell us about that.
Well, many times after a disaster, new charities will pop up. In fact, I don't know why this is, but the IRS will fast-track those applications to set up new charities, and I think there's good intentions there, but it definitely backfires. Disasters are overwhelmingly challenging times for charities to help. I don't see how a brand new charity can jump in there, one that doesn't even have letterhead or staff yet, and really make an efficient and effective difference.
And so, some of those names sound very, very similar to well-established organizations, don't they?
Yes, that name game is something certainly people will play in order to take advantage of your goodwill. So you really need to be careful and look for a charity that has a track record of dealing with this type of disaster and not giving to one that may just pop up.
You also say avoid telemarketers. Why do they always call us in the middle of dinner? Well, gee, that's when we're home.
Yes, and especially now post-election, you know, political folks and charities are exempt from the do not call list. So where are all these telemarketing firms going to get their business now the election's over? They're going to go seek out more charity contracts. So be careful when you get those calls. We always recommend that you hang up. Those for-profit telemarketing people calling you are keeping as much as 95% or more of your donations.
95 cents on the dollar goes in their pocket?
That's right.
Whoa.
It depends on each charity and their deal, but it can be that much or more.
You say to never divulge your credit card information to someone soliciting you via the telephone. And something else I would recommend, do not play into the sense of urgency. I got a call once, and the person on the other end was obviously a little frustrated that I wasn't being more forthcoming with my credit card information. He said, "Mr. Springman, if you don't give $100 immediately, 50 people will die and that blood will be on your hands." Now, that sounds a little bit over the top, and I thought it was, but it's not unusual, is it?
No, sadly it's not. And there's been a number of stories recently looking into these companies that make these calls. And a lot of times they're simply lying over the phone. So really, just hang up. That is never an efficient way to give. It's terrible. The pressure's terrible. And it's hard for people to say no sometimes. And usually when these calls come through, they're from groups that do tug at the heartstrings. They represent veterans, sick children, breast cancer. People don't want to say no. So Just hang up before you even hear their pitch.
Our guest is Sandra Bonuti, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Charity Navigator at charitynavigator.org. You also suggest that you should not send supplies, knowing that people are desperately in need of basic supplies like food, water, and shelter. It's hard not to want to pack up stuff and send a box out there, but that's really not effective philanthropy, is it?
It's not. And, you know, I know a lot of people, I'm here in New Jersey, and I even gave some in-kind donations this way through some charities. But that doesn't really work typically in a disaster. You know, Hurricane Katrina, people wanted to do that. There was nobody down there in New Orleans to receive the materials, to distribute them. It's just very impractical. And many times charities will tell you they can negotiate big contracts with corporations to get big truckloads of supplies into the region. So your donation of $10 will go three times as far than if you went to the post office and mailed some diapers to the region.
You know, I was very distressed to see photographs from the Jersey Shore of piles of clothing in a parking lot. I mean, literally piles of stuff from, you know, very well-intentioned people, but that's not the way to distribute clothing, with a big pile that people have to kind of go through, and then suddenly it rains or it snows. I mean, that should be staged indoors, perhaps racked or in boxes, so people can find what they need.
That's right. That's right. And it's about matching the need with the supplies. And so you could be sending diapers and they don't need diapers, or you could be sending, you know, children's clothes, but really they need adult clothes. So again, it's best to write a check to a charity that you've checked out and that you know will do good things with that money.
You've also suggested that people designate their investment. Tell us about that. What does that mean?
So normally at other times of the year, we ask that you, when you support charities, that you give them an unrestricted donation, allow them to use it as they see fit. But with times of disaster, you're giving to support that particular crisis. So let the charity know, whatever charity it is, that you want your money to go for their efforts in relation to Hurricane Sandy or whatever the disaster is. You don't want to just give them an unrestricted gift, because many times they may save that investment for the next disaster or for their other charitable endeavors. If you want your money spent on Hurricane Sandy relief and recovery, be specific when you give that donation to the charity.
I know that's a source of frustration for people who give, that they discover after the fact that their donation has gone into the general operating fund or saved for a future crisis. Yes, you know, we all need money in the piggy bank, but I think people feel better when they know that the money they're giving is going to a specific area to fulfill a specific need. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think some new charities that have come into existence in recent years do very well under that model. Think about a charity like Donors Choose, where you can find a specific school and a specific teacher and understand what their needs are in the classroom and fund that opportunity directly. That's very powerful for donors to see the results and the impact of their donations. So again, if you're giving to Hurricane Sandy, I encourage you to designate that gift and communicate with the charity. There are those charities out there who may say, we've received enough funds for this disaster, we can't use any more money for this disaster. If you give to us now, we're going to use it for other things. So make sure you check that out before you give.
When people go to your website, Sandra, at charitynavigator.org, what will they find and how can they be effective users of Charity Navigator?
Well, at charitynavigator.org, we rate the financial health and the accountability and transparency of nearly 6,000 charities, and we rate them on a 0 to 4 star rating scale, so you can quickly see if that charity is worthy of a contribution. We give you a little overview of what their programs are about, so you can see if it's a good match for your philanthropic interests. Our site is completely free, and although we rate 6,000 charities, if you can believe it, there are more than 1 million in America today, so there are many that we haven't rated yet. So if you don't find them on our site, it doesn't mean that they're not worthy, but we will offer you a lot of tips to help you vet the charity yourself and to see if it's a good fit for your philanthropic goals.
Sandra Bonuti of Charity Navigator, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
My pleasure.